Well, I appreciate the Lord tonight, don't you? Appreciate all the young people coming. Love each and every one of the young people. And young people are not only the church of tomorrow, but the church of today. Amen. I believe that young people are important to God. I appreciate the confirmation of the Lord tonight. Just need Him to help us. Some things that's been said in the testimonies was word for word. Some things that the Lord's dealt with my heart about. So if you would, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. And while you're headed that way, put your finger in Proverbs chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 7 says, "At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 14. Let's go to the second last verse, verse number 34. The Bible said, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." If I could, for just a little while here tonight, I'd like to preach to you on righteousness exalteth a nation. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word tonight. God, we thank you for your presence, God, that we've felt in the songs and the testimonies, Lord God, but we need your spirit right now. God, to move in this service, God. God, would you move through your word, God? God, would you anoint hearts to receive, God? God, would you touch me and anoint me to deliver your word, God? God, would you let souls leave changed tonight, Lord, as we try to point to an altar? God, would you touch hearts and lives of young people? God, and each and every one in this building, God, we thank you for all you've done and all you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most famous patriotic symbols of the United States is the Liberty Bell. The bell was cast with a biblical quotation on its crown. It said, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." The bell was hung in the steeple of the State House in Philadelphia. The bell cracked the first time that it was ever rang. America, without God, has been a broken nation from the beginning. I believe that with all my heart, don't you? And when I read that about the Liberty Bell, I had never heard that, but I thought that was very interesting. And here they had another man come by and repair the bell, and he repaired the crack in it to where it could ring again. It's only because of God that the Liberty Bells can ring in this country. Amen. It's only because of God and the things that our nation was founded on that I believe that me and you can assemble together in God's house this evening. I believe in freedom, and I believe in the American dream, and I believe in what our country has been founded on. But I do believe that we're living in a time where all of those things are being attacked. Right now, where the Lord has opened the door for me and my wife to pastor, not far from where the church is, there's some public schools in a place called Connellsville, Pennsylvania, where they're trying to take the Ten Commandments out of the schools. Somebody from long ways away, out of state from that school, I don't know why it matters to them, but they decided that the Ten Commandments didn't belong in that school. Their kids didn't go there. They didn't go there. They didn't even live within many miles of it. But they've decided that the Ten Commandments need to be taken out. And right now, there's a battle going on in that area. You know what? I believe that God is the center of everything in America. And America, it's a broken nation without God. And here they are, and they're attacking us at the foundation, aren't they? They're not just attacking us over the little things, but they're attacking us at the foundational issues of things like marriage, which I believe is between one man and one woman. Praise God. I believe that still today, and I haven't wavered from it, because I believe that's what God's Word teaches. Amen. That's what God's Word teaches us. And I believe that the church ought to be able to worship in the freedom of speech and freedom of worship. Amen. But here they are, and that's what they want to attack us on. America is under attack. And here Joseph Stalin said, America is like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold. Its patriotism, its morality, and its spiritual life. If we can undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within. I'm going to tell you, church, I hope that's not what we're seeing before our eyes today. I believe that there's hope for America still, but you know what? You want to know where I believe that the hope lies? I believe that the hope lies with the church. Praise God, I'm thankful for what this flag stands for. But you know what? Even more than that, I'm glad for what this flag stands for. Amen. This flag may fall one day, but I'm going to tell you right now that God's church is never going to fall. And it's a depressing time, maybe, if we look at some things, to be an American. It's a little discouraging as we watch our rights as they're, I believe they're slowly being taken away from us. But you know what? It's an exciting time, praise God, to be a part of the church. It's an exciting time to be a child of God and know that He's coming to get us one day. Regardless of what happens in America, God is coming to get His children, and we're still a part of the church. Amen. The church has been founded on such things as the Bible. If we want to see America turn around, church, we're going to have to get back to the Bible, young people. We're going to have to get back, young people, to living by the Word of God, no more and no less, but preach God's Word, not adding anything to it, not taking anything away from it. But we need some young people that'll stand for the Word of God. The Bible said in Psalm chapter 119, 105, it said, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." You see, what God's Word does is it shows us where we are. And you know what? How can America come away from where she is in this terrible, sinful, wicked state if we don't get back to the Word to show us where we are right now? How can we know what sin is if we don't get back to the Word of God? But you know what else the Bible does? The Bible said that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Bible shows us where we must go. You say you want to see America come back to what it used to be? You know what she's going to have to do first? She's going to have to get back to the Word of God and find out where she is and find out where she's got to go. We wonder why we're so far from where we used to be. We wonder why America is so lost. Can I tell you why? It's because we're not going by the map that we started with anymore. We've got a lot of other things that have come into play. They want to tell us that it's separation of church and state. I want to tell you right now, I don't find that nowhere in the Constitution. I don't find it in any other legal document of the United States. That's just a couple words that they pulled out of a letter somewhere, and it don't have anything to do. I believe that the church has everything to do with our country. A lot of people don't know this. As I was doing some research about some of these things, if you study about the Bible and the role that is played in America, you can look back to right after the Revolutionary War, that the Congress had a Bible printed, and it had a seal for the United States Congress right under the cover of it. And it was for them to use for educational purposes in their schools. Every letter of the alphabet back then used to have a scripture that went with it. If you were going studying the letter A that day, they had a scripture verse that started with the letter A that the children had to memorize. You know what? They can take the Bible out of our schools all they want to. But you know what? I still believe that it belongs there. Amen? I still believe that it does belong there, no matter what they want to say. I like to listen to conservative talk shows and see what's going on in the world, because I believe that the mainstream media is corrupt. But anyways, as I was listening, this one man was talking about how he was going to set up, as he's broadening his network, He was going to set up a studio in Washington, D.C. with a banner that said the Constitution now and forever. I got on the internet and I found out his email address and I told him, I said, it's not the Constitution that's going to save America. But can I tell you, church, that it's got to be the Bible now and forever. Amen. If we want to see America make it, if we want to see God do anything for America, we're going to have to get back to God's word and begin to live by his precepts. Precept upon precept. We've got to live it from cover to cover. And you know what? If we don't line up with the word of God, I really don't believe that we're going to make it to heaven. Do you? We go on down. The next thing that I believe America's been founded on is prayer. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know what? I believe that God's able to heal America, but America first is going to have to get back down on her knees. America's going to have to get back in the prayer closets once again before they ever see God move in this country. You know what? You want your rights back? You get back on your knees and maybe we'll get our rights back. Benjamin Franklin, when they were writing the Constitution, made a speech. They had been writing the Constitution for a while, and it was pretty wordy, so I didn't want to read the whole thing to you, but I took down a couple points that he said. He looked at President Washington, and he said, sir, we started off these meetings with prayer at the beginning of every meeting. I don't know why we've stopped, he said, and I don't know what makes us think that we can do it without God, but we need to start having prayer at the beginning of every congressional meeting that we have. You know what, church? Their prayer is something that America has been founded on. No matter whether they want to tell you that or not, a prayer has played a key part in it. You know what began to happen after Mr. Franklin made that speech? They begin to pray at the beginning of every meeting in Congress, and they still do it today. The verse says that they shall humble themselves. You know what? America is a prideful nation, but they need to be humbled. We're going to have to first humble ourselves. You know what? I'm proud to be an American, but when we get so proud to be an American that we forget that we're still under God, there is a problem with that. America's got to turn from her wicked ways before she can ever see God move again. I was reading a book not long ago about the life of D.L. Moody. No, it was Charles Finney. And they were talking about how that revival just began to sweep across the state of New York. And it began to sweep over into other states. And they had a great awakening. You want me to tell you something? I believe that we can have another great awakening if God's people would get on their knees. People begin to pray and people begin to shake under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. And revival would sweep through entire towns as Finney would go and preach to them. And God would move in their souls. You know what, church? I still believe that that's possible today. I still believe that God can give America revival. But you know what's going to have to happen? The church is first going to have to get back on her knees. We've got to see more tears in the prayer closet. We've got to see a burden laid on God's people and see God's people get under that burden for prayer. We go on. This is the third thing that I think is going to have to happen. The church is going to have to be restored to her rightful place. You say, Brother Jim, we can't help it that they pushed us down from where we ought to be. Oh, yes, we can. Because you want to know what? When the Holy Ghost gets involved, when the Spirit of God begins to move again like He ought to in our churches, they're not going to be able to hold the church down. You look at the book of Acts. You know what? The Roman Empire couldn't hold the church down. They persecuted them all they wanted to. They tried to keep them from preaching the gospel. But when the power of the Holy Ghost got to moving in it, that changed all the circumstances. You know what, church? When the power of God gets to moving, they won't be able to hold us down. The Bible describes the disciples and the apostles. It talks and said that they were those that turned the world upside down. You know what? It wasn't them that did it, but it was the power of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that through God's people, He can do it again. Amen. The church has followed the world for way too long. You know that? I heard one preacher a long time ago give this illustration. And he said, you know, that America used to be right here, and the church used to be over there, real conservative. Now America has moved over here, and now the church is where America once was. Church there, we've allowed way too many things come into our homes. We've allowed way too many unholy things come into our lifestyle and take away our victory. We've allowed the things of the world to come into our lives and into our homes, young people, for way too long. And it's time that we get it out now. You say you want to see God move in your home. You say you want to get back to holiness. You know what my Bible tells me? That I can't love the world and love Jesus too. We're going to have to get away from this love that we have for the world. And we're going to have to develop a hatred for sin and the hunger for holiness, church. Oh, we've got to see God move in the church again. We've got to get back to where we started out at. We've got to get back to that life of holiness. We've got to get back to that life of prayer. We've got to get back to that life that is lived by the Word of God. I listened to this CD of David Barton. That's where I found some of this material about America. You know, I believe that they're rewriting our American history and they're corrupting it. But I like to listen to these CDs of David Barton because he talks about how America was founded on Christianity. But he said that when the pilgrims first come to America, when they first come to America, they would study their Bibles for several hours a day. I don't know about you, but I don't know too many people that do that anymore. You know what, church? We're going to have to get back to the Word. We're going to have to get back to the prayer. And then the church is going to be restored back to its rightful place. Young people, I know that you're young. I know that maybe you're impressed with the fads of this whole world. And some of these things that have an impact on your life. You're pressured and you suffer with peer pressure and you struggle with the fads of this world. But you know what? You don't have to give in to the peer pressure of this whole world. But you know what? I know that when you hear about politics, you hear about things that's going on in our country today. I know that sometimes you think, man, I don't want anything to do with that. Why do I want to hear about politics? You want me to tell you why you need to be concerned about your country? Because if we don't get concerned about it now, who knows what's going to happen? You know what I believe? I believe that young people, more than anything else, can have an impact on America. I believe that young people, more than anything else, can have an impact on the church if they just get to the place of prayer and let God move on them. Young people, you don't realize the impact that you could have. You don't realize what you could do for God. I want to read you a story of a young lady and what she did for our country. 2 years after Paul Revere made his ride, a 16-year-old girl named Sybil Luddington also made a midnight ride for the cause of independence. One rainy night on April 1777, an exhausted messenger rode up to the Luddington household. He brought news to Henry Luddington, her father, and he told them that Danbury, Connecticut was under attack and that the British were overtaking it. They had found alcohol in the town, and they had begun to burn down the homes, and they were just destroying the city. So the man was there. He was worn out from riding. And Henry Luddington, he looked and he said, who's going to go to get all the militiamen together? He said, I can't send this man. He doesn't know the roads. He doesn't know where the men live. This little 16-year-old girl said, Daddy, I will go. And he said, you know what? It's going to be a hard ride. You better be careful. Before he knew it, his daughter was already in the stable. It took her but a minute to saddle up her horse, and she took off down the road. By the next morning, she had made it home. She had rode for 40 miles, and almost every one of the militiamen had made it to the house, and they had went to fight for Danbury, Connecticut, this city. You know what, young people? You can do something for God. You can do something for your country, no matter how small that it may be, no matter how great that it may be. I guarantee you that you can do something for God. It doesn't matter how small it is. You know what you can do? You can pray. You know what you can do? You can tell somebody about the gospel. You know what you can do? You can go and be a witness and a light wherever you go. Maybe you go to public school. You know what you can do? You can go there and you can stand up for God right in the public school. You know what? Look at Daniel in the Bible. He stood up when it wasn't popular. Young people, you can stand up no matter how unpopular it is. Young people, you can do something for God. And if anybody tells you that you can, it's a lie from the devil. You don't have to believe that, because there is something that you can do for God. You say, oh, I have to be somebody great. Oh, I've got to do something magnificent that everybody will see, and it'll make it in the front headlines of the newspaper. No, that's not what you have to do. But you know what? When everybody gets together as a whole and does their little part, you know what? It's going to make a great impact in this whole world. You know what? I still believe that the church can make an impact in this world today. We've just got to make up our minds to go on for the Lord. God's not looking for another Patrick Henry to say, give me liberty or give me death. He's looking for some young people that'll say, give me the Spirit lest I die. He's not looking for another Nathan Hale to say, I only regret that I have but one life to lose. But he's looking for some young people that'll say, I only regret that I have one life to give to Jesus. You know what? You can give your life to Jesus. He's not looking for another John Paul Jones to say, I've not yet begun to fight. He's looking for some young people that'll say, I will not stop fighting for what is right. Church, we don't need liberty in America. We need the power of the Holy Ghost, because where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Church, we don't need freedom in America. We need the Son, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We don't need to get back to the principles of the founding fathers. What we need to get back to is the founding father. Church, we don't need another Tea Party meeting. What we need is a prayer meeting. God's not worried about the Ten Commandments in the schools, I don't think. He's worried about the Ten Commandments in our hearts. He's not worried about in God we trust being on our money. He's worried about in God we trust being in the hearts of every American. Oh, God, help us. We don't need another John Hancock to sign in big letters on the Declaration of Independence. We need some young people to write out in big letters their declaration of dependence on Jesus Christ right now. I want to tell you one more story as we head towards the altar call. On January 21st, 1776, in a little Lutheran church in Woodstock, Virginia, Peter Muhlenberg took his text from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He read to verse 8 where it says, a time for war and a time of peace. He threw off his clerical robe to reveal his colonel's uniform. The drums began to roll outside the church doors as men kissed their wives goodbye, then walked up the aisle to enlist. Young people, can you hear the drums rolling in your ears as God calls for some young people to enlist right now in His army? You know what? We don't need a revolution in America. We don't need a military revolution. What we need is a spiritual revolution in America. And when we get a spiritual revolution, I believe that it's going to turn things around. We need some young people that'll kiss this world goodbye and walk right on up the aisle and say, I'll write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and I'll serve Him till the day that I die. How about it, young people? You want to come enlist in this army? You want to come write your name? This ain't a 4-year term. This ain't an 8-year term. This isn't a career. This is a contract for life. Young people, what are you waiting for? Are you going to come up the aisle and enlist in God's army? He's waiting for you right up here. I wonder if you're willing to fight in this battle. I wonder if you're willing to fight this spiritual battle that we're in. It's not a political warfare. It's a spiritual warfare that we're fighting for. We're fighting for the church. Oh, hallelujah. God, help us, Lord Jesus. God, would you help us, Lord Jesus? Oh, hallelujah, God. God, would you touch them, Lord Jesus, God. God, would you help us, Lord Jesus, God. God.
God, to be good soldiers, Heavenly. God, would you help us to be good soldiers, God? God, in your